Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. We're going to talk through a lot on this episode, from nutrition to lifestyle to training. And one of the biggest life hacks that Dom and I have made for our own health and for our kids is getting Vivo barefoot shoes. It is all our kids have known and worn because we want to support healthy development of their feet. And that means learning how to use your feet yourself. And it's not just about the fact that these shoes have the ability for your toes to actually spread the way that they should, so that they have the mobility to gain the stability at the bottom of the foot and build the strength. But also, when we take away a lot of the cushion at the bottom of your feet, you learn and your body learns how you have to create that shock absorption and that foot support from your own foot, from your own step, rather than relying on cushion to support you. So rather than jamming your foot into the ground and creating more of this, you know, ground force reaction up into your hips, your back, other places that you may feel because you're so used to a lot of this cushion, when you start using more barefoot shoes more often throughout the day, it doesn't have to be all day long, but at least some portions, you're training your body to be able to create that absorption so you're not having so much shock and force go up into other areas like your knees, your hips, your low back. And let me tell you, that's needed as we age, right? So learning how to actually gain the strength and the support from our own feet is so crucial. And this is why we've been wearing Vivo barefoot shoes for over 5 years now. This is why these are the only shoes we put on our sons. And this is why we talk about it so much, because we truly feel the passion that this is going to be a lifestyle hack that you can use to age better. Now, we have a special 25% off code happening only right now. So if you have not checked out Vivo barefoot shoes, this is the time. Use code TOB25 at checkout and go grab yourself a pair of shoes for the holiday season. I am so honored to have Liz Baker Plauser on the podcast. She is someone that I have followed and admired for a long time, and I know she has just a wealth of knowledge that you guys are going to enjoy as well. Now, she is a former editor-in-chief of Women's Health, where for 7 years, she oversaw the brand across its print and digital platforms, various brand extensions, reaching a monthly audience of over 44 million. And as a veteran in the wellness industry, she's held senior roles at so many incredible companies. And Liz writes a wellness-focused Substack and best case scenario, which she includes a Monday roundup of all the latest news in health, fitness, and nutrition space, plus a deep dive long form piece every Thursday. And in her new chapter, she consults for wellness companies and is a guest lecturer at Canyon Ranch, plus appears regularly as a speaker and moderator and a frequent guest on national television and podcasts. Liz is the author of her own book, Own Your Morning, Reset Your AM to Unlock Your Potential. A Princeton University graduate and certified personal trainer, she lives in Brooklyn with her husband, 3 children, and Bernese Mountain Dog. You can follow her on social media at Liz Plauser, and I'm excited to get into her brain today. Liz, I just want to say thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us today. I mean, you have been such a force, especially around women's health. I think that's majority of our podcast listeners, but also just in health and wellness, nutrition, understanding it and living it. Like, you are living it every day with your husband and 3 kids and have continued with this lifestyle. So I think I'm just excited to pick your brain on so many things, but I'm also very honored to have you here. So thank you.
Oh, thanks, Jen and Dom. I'm super excited to be here. And my dog, Willa, is joining us. So I hope that's okay. Yes. I'm petting her dog to the side if you see her come into frame. But I love geeking out about all of this. So I can't wait to dig in with you guys.
Very dog friendly space. So we're happy to also have a little co-interviewee along for the ride. So I think we need to just call you what you are. And what Jen said before we got on the call is, like, she's a badass. She's a badass in this space, in the health and wellness space. And hopefully that doesn't make you blush too much, because it is so true. I mean, editor-in-chief of Women's Health Magazine, written books, done so much in this space of health and wellness. Like, what was the journey like to get into health and wellness for you to where you are now?
Oh, well, you are making me blush. So thank you. You just made my whole day. I have been really fascinated and curious about these topics since, honestly, I was a little kid. I think it really began with my love of sports growing up. I was really into soccer, tennis, and basketball. So I played those competitively. And from a young age, I learned that when I slept well or when I fueled myself properly, though I probably wouldn't have called it that at the time, but when I had a proper dinner and snack before the game and hydrated and all those things, I just played better. It went better. And so I feel incredibly lucky that professionally I've been able to take those lessons that I was so lit up by as a kid and really connect the dots, and turn it into a career. So yeah, I've been a health journalist for more than 20 years now, and it's such a awesome, ride following the research and getting to talk to the best experts and, honestly, just learning everything I can and then hopefully translating that in a way that helps people take positive actions in their own life.
Taking a quick pause from the interview, and because we're talking about nutrition and supplementation advice in this episode, I thought we should talk about something not enough of us pay close enough attention to, and that's our hydration. That's why Jen and I use Element electrolyte drink packets every single day to make sure that we're replenishing and replacing those vital electrolytes, the sodium, potassium, and magnesium that we're losing throughout the day without even realizing it. Making sure our electrolytes are at optimal levels can help with things like brain fog, fatigue, headaches, muscle cramps, bowel movements, sleep, and so much more. Now, Element's great because it makes sure that you're optimizing these electrolyte levels, but it also tastes so darn good. Our favorite flavors, I love the citrus, Jen loves the raspberry. We both are huge fans of their newest flavor, the lemonade salt. So if you are interested in getting your hands on some of this, go down to the link in the show notes. It's just drinkelement.com/optimal. That's drinkelement, spelled out LMNT.com/optimal. You'll get a free sample pack with every single order, so you know what flavor is your favorite when you inevitably come back to order more. All right, let's get back into the interview.
Yeah, I mean, 20 years, that's quite the journey. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of the ebbs and flows with what's hot right now and what is not, and then what makes a comeback, and then what is demonized, and all of these different shifts, I feel like, that especially with social media, have been happening. What are some consistent, would you say, throughout the 20 years that, you know what, if you just stuck to these things, if you did this with your health and nutrition, like, these have been the constants through the years?
I think the first one that comes to mind is eating whole foods when possible. And we're all parents here, so we know how hectic and chaotic life can get. So, you know, no shade to anybody that needs some tools in the form of, you know, packaged snacks and protein powders and things like that. But when possible, making your own food and eating real, whole life-giving, nourishing foods is great for all the minerals and antioxidants and other good things in there that create so much magic in our bodies. And then another one that I'll stand by forever is moving our bodies. You know, as you said, Jen, there's been so many trends and fads, and sometimes Pilates is hot, and then running is, and right now, thankfully, weightlifting and strength training are having a moment. Maybe we'll get into that. But at the end of the day, what I always tell people is move in a way that makes you happy, because then you'll keep moving. So I'm really into strength training. I wish every woman and man would do it too, because there's so many health benefits that come from it, and mental and emotional benefits. But honestly, if you love to run or go to yoga, like, I would rather you start there and go do that stuff, because that's what you're going to keep coming back to. And then I think the last one I'll point out that hopefully will never, ever go out of style, though it's tougher in this day and age with social media and how fragmented we are digitally, but in human face-to-face contact, or if that's not possible, you know, picking up the phone and calling a friend and talking about your shit, if I'm allowed to say that word here, and listening to theirs and just, you know, being in community with others. I think it's highly underrated, all the tremendous health benefits that come from connection.
So, I mean, that was a boring answer. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But it's so true that the things that persist and the things that just make sense for health are the boring things. Eating whole real foods, moving your body, doing things you enjoy, connecting with people in a way that's meaningful. Like,
yeah,
we could cut the podcast right there and have everyone just take those 3 points and, you know, try to put them in a little bit. And something kind of stuck with me when you were talking about being a young athlete, and how when you slept well or hydrated a little bit better or ate, you know, a decent meal and snack before you performed better, which only makes sense. But it's crazy to me how I think about myself as a young athlete and I'm grabbing the McDonald's value menu before I head to my competition and scarfing that down, and I make no connection. And these young athletes, their sport is everything to them when you're in those teen years and coming into high school and stuff. Why does it not connect with kids at that young age that eating a little bit, I don't want to say cleaner, but eating those whole foods, fueling your body right? You even said, I probably wouldn't have referred to it as fueling my body right, but it's just interesting that that connection isn't made when we're in those formative years in our sport or in our, you know, exercise.
Yeah, I agree with you. And to be clear, I definitely was with my teammates, like grabbing a Snickers bar from the vending machine for most practices. And again, like, geez, talk about, I guess I got some like quick energy, but setting yourself up for a crash, which I undoubtedly felt like by the time we were running sprints, you know, an hour into practice. Yeah. I don't know. I have 3 children. I have boy girl twins who are 14 and a boy who's 10. They're all into sports. Lucy plays tennis. George is into flag football and soccer, and Charlie's really into fencing. Listen, I model eating healthfully. I talk about protein and hydration and electrolytes. I talk about all the things. I think, you know, part of it is maturity. And I think part of it is we kind of have to learn these things for ourselves sometimes. And something I've even experienced in my own life as a health journalist is, like, I've reported, edited, assigned stories about protein, for example. But it wasn't until I was into my 40s that I finally like locked up my own protein intake and did an audit on myself. So I just share that because I know we have to sometimes hear it in a bunch of different ways and from different places before it like clicks. And so that's one of the many reasons I love what you all do, is that you bring on different experts, and the way you talk about things, hopefully the way you say it or somebody on your show does, like, it just clicks for somebody out there listening. And I'll just say, I hope it starts clicking for my kids too, because yeah. I think they'll feel a lot better when they're at practice and training and in competition. But I don't know, kids are kids, right? I guess that's another constant in our world.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what's, you know, I've seen some shifts and changes, you know, now that we have peptides and things that assist in different ways. There's so many questions here that I want to ask. Because as we're going through midlife, and as, especially for women, we're going into different changes. And I think women just want to find, why is my body suddenly changing? Like, what can I do about this? And what's going to be the most supportive long term? You know, and when you see other women who are taking some of the peptides that they're talking about, and they're all of a sudden looking different and feeling different, it's, you know, so I guess, could we talk about that a little bit? Where does that play a role in midlife, and where does, like, now let's just focus on nutrition, or do they play a role together? Like, you know, just in this current shift, I feel like that we're having.
Yeah, I think it's such a great thing that people are talking about midlife in this chapter and the changes that women navigate, specifically perimenopause and then menopause. And like, these are real things. I've heard, I can't remember who said it, but a doctor once referred to it as like such an inflection point that it's very similar to puberty for a woman. just because so much is happening hormonally and there's so many changes going on in your body. And that was, as somebody who's watching my children in that chapter of their lives, I'm like, whoa, that's so true. Like, there is a lot going on in a woman's body. I think pregnancy and postpartum are like two other chapters, as you know, Jen, that are similar. Like, we just, our bodies are like petri dishes and there's all sorts of stuff happening in there. And for many women, that manifests itself in some really unpleasant symptoms, unfortunately. I wish I made the rules of aging because I wouldn't have done it this way, but I'm not responsible for it. But that could be anything from, you know, fatigue to intense anxiety, depression, mood swings, short-temperedness, really bad sleep, hot flashes, frozen shoulder. I mean, like, the list just goes on and on. So the first thing I would recommend is acknowledge that, like, this is real. I think, again, this is a great thing about where we are right now, is that there's so much more conversation around it. So I hope nobody feels like they have to sweep it under the rug or just put their head down and, like, endure it, because there really are some awesome options and tools out there. One of which is talking to your doctor, ideally somebody who's menopause trained, which is actually just a really small portion of doctors. But one who is can get really granular about what your symptoms are and what your health history is, and help you develop a care plan that might include hormone therapy. It might include peptides. It might include some nutrition guidance, things like that. I am obviously not a doctor, so please, you know, do your due diligence and talk to your own physician. But for me personally, I am really focused on my nutrition. I mentioned protein earlier. That was part of the reason I decided to do a self audit and dial that in. And secondly, I've really amped up my strength training. I used to be, as I said, I was really sporty as a kid. And then in my 20s and 30s, I got super into running. I did like tons of half marathons, marathons, triathlons. I was such a cardio bunny. Mostly because the endorphins that was the one place I could get it. And, you know, again, due to changes in our hormones, particularly the decline of estrogen, it just becomes so important in midlife for women to focus on strength training. So I know I said earlier, yoga is great, walking's great, running's great, do the things you love. But if I were to give a recommendation for somebody who's not feeling great or thinks they might be in that chapter, I would say, get some information, maybe meet with a trainer, talk to your doctor, educate yourself, because strength training can make a big difference.
And I think that's important. Like you said, we have to do and choose these modalities that we enjoy, you know, and if somebody, and I think this is unfortunately a large percentage of people that are either afraid to strength train, just the thought of getting under a barbell with weights on it, it you know, makes their knees ache or something. Maybe because what they've been told by certain health professionals who aren't as forward thinking in this, you know, realm as, you know, as we might be. Let's talk a little bit more about strength training. You mentioned one reason it might be important, like this drop in estrogen, the change in hormones. Why is strength training so important, especially as women navigate some of these changes in their life, whether that be through pregnancy and postpartum or into perimenopause and menopause?
Yeah, so there's a lot of research about this. And as our estrogen declines, that also triggers something called sarcopenia, which I don't need to explain to you all. But for anybody who hasn't heard that word, it's a really fancy way of saying that you start to lose your lean muscle mass. And there are estimates that suggest once women turn 40, that we lose about 1% of our lean muscle mass every year, all other things being equal. So you're not doing anything wrong. You're just going about your life like you always did. And due to those hormonal fluctuations, that your muscle mass is going to just start gradually declining. So for women in their 40s and up, it becomes really, really important to take action, such as strength training, to help prevent that. And why do we care about muscle? Well, many doctors, more and more of them, are calling it, you know, basically the best signal of your health. People talk about your immune system function, your bone density, all these things that are very important to you, of course. But muscle is going to prevent you from falling. It's a reservoir for so many nutrients and physical reactions that happen in the body. So protecting it is really important. And then, of course, and I think this is worth mentioning, you know, body composition also changes as your muscle mass declines. And as your body ratio, your fat to lean muscle mass ratio changes, that can set you up for a variety of health conditions. You know, when we carry more fat in around our organs, and then they call it visceral fat, especially in our belly area, which, by the way, doesn't really feel good either when you're going through all this stuff and you've got kids and maybe aging parents and hot flashes, and then you're like, great, and now my jeans don't fit. So that's just one additional thing I would add, that it can help you just, to use the word you did earlier, feel like a badass and feel more like yourself. I think, you know, weight and talking about body weight can be a charged conversation, but I don't think it should be. I think people are allowed to like zip on their favorite pair of jeans and feel confident and awesome. I just want people to feel amazing in their bodies.
Agreed. I mean, and why not be able to talk about it? Why not be able to bring this up and have conversation and discuss like what is working for other people and what can I do for me? And when we have the science now to back up, you know, these claims about strength training and how important muscle is, like I do hope as well that women continue to lean in my postpartum phase right now, like with my body not where I would personally love it to be. It's a hard thing to always look in the mirror and see like it's changed. The only thing I can focus on right now is getting stronger. And I am getting stronger. I'm doing more pull-ups. I'm adding weight to my push-ups. I'm, you know, so like I'm seeing these strength gains that I'm like, well, this is what I get to focus my attention on right now, because I'm also breastfeeding. So it's like, I don't want to be in calorie deficits and all that stuff. So, you know, and when we start to shift into that mindset of getting stronger and feeling powerful in the body, like I feel like that can impact so much. And when we talk about gaining muscle as well, like I think the protein conversation goes in that. And I know you touched on that. So I would love to talk a little bit more about protein types. Like, what are we looking for? Are you talking about just like protein in overall diet? Are we talking about protein powders? How much protein are we supposed to be going for? I think there's a lot of conversation about that. So can we talk about that?
Because we've already kind of prefaced this with like, okay, food-centric approach.
Right.
But there are situations that it might be important to supplement.
Yeah, I'm not a huge supplement person, but there are a couple I use and I'll explain why. I will always prioritize real whole foods for all the reasons we talked about, and maybe one we didn't, which is I think eating delicious food is really fun and joyful, and I love sharing it with my husband and my kids or my friends. So I think that matters quite a bit. But in terms of protein, so there's some really outdated guidelines that the RDA has had out for decades, that I'm going to make this the turbo version. Essentially, the amount they recommended is basically as much as you need to survive. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to just survive. I want to feel awesome. I want to thrive. And so this has been, as everybody listening probably knows, because protein is everywhere in every like snack and now liquid drinks. It's like every day I'm like, what? They put protein in what? I think the great thing about this is it means there's a ton of research and that people are really curious and really starting to understand how important this macronutrient is. So I'll make this also as turbo as possible. When we talk about protein and getting it from your diet, what we're actually doing is eating the amino acids that are in the protein. So yes, if you eat protein, that's good for you. But why? Because they're made of amino acids. There are 20 amino acids. 9 of them are essential amino acids, which means you have to get them from food or a supplement because your body can't make them on its own. And so what happens is you eat the food, you digest it, and your body takes all those essential amino acids and uses it to do all sorts of things in your body, to keep your immune system healthy, to keep your hormones humming along, for your neuro health, your brain functioning, and yes, for your muscle functioning. So essential amino acids, all amino acids are really, really important. To backtrack a tiny bit, in terms of protein, the formula I use, and there's a lot of debate and experts will tell you different things, but this is what I stand by based on my activity level and my age. I'm aiming to eat 1 gram of protein per pound of ideal body weight, which for me is about 130 pounds. So that's a lot of protein to get in during the day. And I'm really good at it now because I've been on this journey for a while. But, you know, I have children. I travel a lot for work. So I do have some tools that I use that can help me reach that goal. One of them is protein powder. I use a whey protein powder. And the other is an essential amino acid supplement. So I've been talking for a minute, but that's kind of the deal with protein. Ideally, you get it from food and you set a goal that you and your physician or RD feel is appropriate for you. If you need some help, these protein snacks can be helpful. So can protein powder. And then I would say essential amino acids, like I tell every single one of my friends they should be taking it. I have my parents on it, my in-laws on it. I don't believe in magic bullets, but EAAs are about as close as you can get to one. And I can tell you why if you want to know. Now that I've dropped the mic with that.
I mean, yeah, now that we've gone down that route, I mean, when we're talking about a protein powder versus an essential amino acid powder, like how do they play off each other? Like, I mean, I'm sure, are there some essential amino acids in your protein powder as is versus if I'm taking an EAA, is that like 1 to 1? Is a gram of an essential amino acid powder the same as a protein powder?
Here's the deal. So from food, particularly when you eat from an animal source, you're getting the full profile of essential amino acids. The issue is it's a slightly less efficient way to get those essential amino acids than a protein powder because you're having a piece of food, you're having that piece of protein with other macronutrients. Like when you have steak or fish for dinner, chances are you're having like some green beans on the side or maybe a small baked potato. You know, there's carbs in there, there's fat in there. Again, all great for you, full of micronutrients and vitamins, good stuff. It's a little hard for your body to pull the amino acids out as it's digesting it. With a whey protein powder, which has the full profile of amino acids, your body's more efficient. There is some other stuff in there, but not as much. So your body can get those EAAs out. So the beauty of an essential amino acid supplement is that it's designed and created and hopefully by a reputable brand that works with scientists to have just those EAAs in it, right? And in the exact right doses so your body can take those building blocks and use them to do all that cool, important stuff. So there's no digestion necessary. It's immediately bioavailable. You mix it with water, you drink it, bam, it hits your system. Your body's like, thank you for these essential amino acids. Now I'm going to go to town and do all this awesome stuff. So for those reasons, and because I'm science-backed, so I always do my research. It's, you know, been a tentpole of my career. There's actually more research on EAAs than there is on creatine, which blows people's mind because everyone's talking about creatine. And I'm talking about like gold standard research in the best academic journals. So this is like real. This is not pseudoscience. And trust me, I see all the quick fixes and whatnot on social media. I have no like skin in this game, except that it changed my life so much that I'm kind of like known as the aminos geek. Like I take them every single morning before I work out and often other times during the day, just to know that I am activating protein synthesis and taking care of my body.
So when you kind of touch on when you take it, is that what you recommend? Like, is it taking it right before a workout? Is it multiple times a day? Like how often are we supposed to be taking essential amino acids?
I would recommend, much like I would for strength training, which we were talking about earlier, how it can be intimidating. Just start with one little scoop. I do it at a time of day you'll remember. There's no right or wrong time. The best time is the time you'll remember. For me, that's first thing in the morning. If I don't do it then, it's not happening. So as soon as I'm up and at them and making my coffee, I just go to the sink, make my glass of ice water. Yes, I use regular tap water and put in my aminos and stir it up and sip on that. And that's how I started. And pretty quickly, within a couple of weeks, I was noticing like, whoa, I love to deadlift. I'm like not getting sore and I'm deadlifting a lot of weight right now. So I felt quite quickly that my recovery was faster and I just wasn't as achy and didn't have as much muscle soreness. Doing it before a workout is also great because, as you guys know, when you go work out, your muscles become like sponges ready for protein synthesis. So they're just like, give it to me. And I mean, that's what I imagine my muscles saying. I don't know what they're actually saying. So they can just do so much goodness then. Now, if I'm being honest, now that it's been a few years, I make a water bottle to go to the gym, like a big bottle, and I put in another scoop and I just kind of sip on that during my workout. I know people who like to take them right after their workout. It's like kind of refreshing. I use a brand called Keon. They come in four different flavors. So that's a good time. And then the other time that I will take them, I'll give you two other use cases. One that I do most days and one that happens rarely, but sometimes. There's that afternoon slump some of us get. You guys have really tiny kids, so probably, probably more than sometimes, if I remember correctly. So for me, it's like 2:30 or 3, and I'm like in between meetings and I'm starting to drag. I'll go have some essential amino acids and a glass of water then. And it's not like caffeinated or anything. It's not like coffee, but I just feel like a little bit leveled up. Like I put the plug in the wall, you know, in like a nice way. The last time I used them, and this kind of goes back to your all's question about protein and how much to have. So I am very lucky. My husband loves to cook. It's like he enjoys relaxing at the end of a long day by cooking. Oh, Dom, you too.
It's a form of art. It's so easy to lose yourself in making a meal, and I love it.
You and Matt, we get along. I mean, I'm the sous chef. I'm so impressed by what he does. But
cooking with people is one of my, sorry to interrupt you, cooking with people is one of my favorite ways of connecting because it's like, it's you're creating something together that will never ever be made. It's like a nerdy little thing of mine. Aww. It's like every meal that I cook with someone, I'm like, this is a cool thing that we get to share that will never happen again. You know?
I'm like tearing up. I'm not even kidding. That's really cool.
Then we get to share that food with people that is literal energy that we get to spread. And yeah, sorry.
Please don't apologize. I love that. I'm going to give Matt a hug tonight while he's cooking for me. I do say that to him. Cooking for the family. So where was I going with that? Oh, I know. My wonderful husband, I remember this was a couple years ago, he was making pasta for dinner. Not from scratch, but whatever. He was making like a tomato-based sauce from scratch with veggies and stuff in it. And it smelled delicious and it looked amazing. Gosh. And I was like, hey, this looks so good. Are you putting any protein in it? Because, you know, I've still got to like get to my 130. And he's like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, my head is immediately like, okay, how am I going to do this? Like, I can put a little cheese on it. That's a little bit of protein. You guys, I'm not even kidding. I was debating whether I should go like crack open a tinned can of tuna and like scarf down some tuna before dinner. Or I was like, could I put it on top of the pasta? How would that work? And then I just had this moment where I'm like, this is crazy. I don't want to be that person. I want to be able to enjoy a balanced life and not like make my husband feel bad or put tuna on his like deliciously created, you know, once in a lifetime meal because I have to hit my protein goal today. Like, no. And so this is a long story and a long way of saying that is another perfect use case for aminos. And now what I will do is I'm like, cool, we're having pasta for dinner, or on Fridays we do homemade pizza night. Okay, we're having pizza tonight. I'm going to make sure I make my water bottle of aminos or glass of aminos, put in my scoop and like drink it. And I know I'm covered. I'm activating protein synthesis. And if I only have 5 grams of protein in dinner, it's all good because I've got it done.
Yeah. And does that help with like the blood sugar spike then as well, if you're getting your amino acids prior to having like a carby dinner?
You know, that's actually a really good question. I know the calorie count itself in aminos is negligible. This is another reason that particularly for women in midlife who are navigating body composition issues and their doctors are like, you need to hit this protein goal. And they're like, but if I do that, I'm going to be eating like 1,000 more calories a day than you told me to. So that's another way that aminos can be really helpful. In terms of blood sugar spikes, I'm sure there's research on that, Jen. I'll email you afterward or so you can share with your listeners. But I do know when I have it in the afternoon, if I'm feeling kind of like fatigued, I feel more balanced. So something's happening.
I took away a couple things from your story. One, I hope at some random time in the future, I find myself in the kitchen with Matt and we just are putting together something amazing for you all to eat. And two, you bring up such a good point about the more that we learn about nutrition and the more that we learn about how we should be doing things to optimally fuel our body, it can edge into this area of, disordered mindset when it comes to, oh my gosh, we're having pasta. That whole story that you just outlined, like I need to hit my protein. I'm going to bastardize this amazing meal my husband just made with a can of tuna. Yuck. But it's so good to like say there's a different way to do it. There's a different way to do it without needing to be so anxious about it. Because then if we were becoming anxious about how we're eating, when we're eating, what we're eating, that is almost negating any positive impact we're going to be getting from eating, quote, the right way and eating the right foods.
I agree with you. And listen, I think life is for living, all things in balance. I'm not anti any food, none of that. And I don't want anybody to be stressed out. I want this to feel additive, your nutrition and supplement taking. Like these should be things that make you feel better, not stressed out or anxious or guilty.
And in a life where we are stressed and there's so much going on and, you know, hitting the protein goals and strength training and trying to stay healthy in all these ways, what are some of like your favorite daily hacks that you found help to create these habits? Because I think that's one of the hardest things for women, especially when there's so much going on, is like, well, I just don't have time, or I don't have the ability, or I'm just going to eat out, or I'm, you know, it's like kind of taking those easier routes. So how does someone start to create better habits, and what are some of your hacks for that?
The first thing I would say is to start small, that you wouldn't run a marathon on morning one of beginning, a running plan. You work up to that. And I think that's whether it's strength training or your nutrition or really a meditation practice, a journaling practice, whatever it might be. I think start small and begin to build those small wins. And over time, as you become more proficient and confident, you know, suddenly it's getting bigger and bigger and becoming more and more just a part of you, much like marathon training. So for me with protein, that small first step was actually not changing anything and was just taking a look at how much protein I was having on an average day. So that was just like jotting things down, using my phone to search and be like, okay, how many grams of protein are in an egg or a chicken breast? And not doing anything about it, not judging myself for how much I was having or how much or how little was in a meal. And then after a week, I was like, okay, I'm at 40 to 50 grams. Like I said, I should have been having around 130. So that's quite a dramatic gap to fill. Like if I just tried to start eating 130 grams the next day, I guarantee I would burn out. I would be so overwhelmed. I would be probably resentful. It wouldn't be any fun. And I would probably give up. So I just made a goal to add a little more and to try to get it up the next week. You know, let's just beat that next week. And within a month, I was at 130. And that was, you know, it took some like work in the terms of like I was looking at labels. I did use a food scale for a couple of weeks just to get a good idea of how much protein was in, you know, 4 ounces of fish or whatever it might be. But when you do those tiny wins, and then when you get comfortable, push it a little bit, then like adjust again, and then push it a little more. It is a lot like strength training. And this is actually the same advice I would give anybody who's beginning a workout program. Same thing, beginners, they come in with motivation and excitement, and that is so awesome. But sometimes that can be our Achilles heel. If we go too hard, too fast, we injure ourselves, we get burnt out, we get tired. We say we have to go to the gym every morning, and on day 5, we're like, you know, exhausted and hate our alarm clock. So you don't have to run the marathon on day 1. Just start small, let your body acclimate, give yourself some grace. And we've been talking about nutrition and fitness, but this is, I think, an apply to life lesson, if I'm being honest, whether it comes to your health or parenting or like a professional goal. Not to be Yoda Liz, but it's definitely something I wish I had learned earlier in life.
Yeah, and it's all that habit change and forming habits, like the game of how do I do this in a sustainable method so that I can keep it as a part of my forever routine. And especially as new parents, like after our second was born, we get about a month and a half in, and I'm in my head like, man, I feel like a piece of crap right now because I'm not moving my body. I'm not eating well. I'm not sleeping well. Like three of my primary pillars are crumbling right now. How can I turn this around? And that doesn't mean that I'm running to the gym for an hour and a half because one, I don't have the time or the energy. It's the small ways of starting to put that back in place. And this might relate to, I had seen, I think in your bio that you wrote a book. I'm probably not going to get the title exactly right, about reclaiming your morning or...
Yes, so close. It's called Own Your Morning.
Own Your Morning. And morning routines, I don't think they're as hot right now, but that's another one that kind of like comes in and out of the social media thread. What does that mean to you, owning your morning? Is there some sort of morning routine that people should be thinking about putting in or...
Yeah. So first of all, I just want to acknowledge that as parents to youngsters, protecting your pillars of wellness and well-being is so hard. So, you know, I just want to put that out there to people. Like, there are really stressful periods at work, or, you know, if we're navigating caring for elderly parents with, like, life comes fast and furious and some things are out of our control. So I love what you said, Dom, about like, it doesn't have to be 90 minutes at the gym, but if it's a little something that can make a big difference and move the needle to you feeling like yourself.
I started out doing 50 push-ups and 10 pull-ups a day. And yep. I mean, that might sound like a lot to some people. That's like, you know, manageable for me to just jump in and start doing that. And now I'm doing 100 push-ups, 100 squats, 100 sit-ups, 40 pull-ups. You know, like it just grows. And totally. Like I just have my daily base that I do, grease the groove. I'm not like on a specific workout plan. That is my workout plan, you know, and it keeps me feeling like I'm sustaining and giving my body the love it needs.
I love that. That's awesome. I love mornings too. They're kind of my thing, along with aminos, protein, and strength training. So my book is actually not a prescription for how to have the perfect morning. It's really a guide to help you as the reader, architect your perfect morning, because we're all really different. We have different passions. You know, we like different workouts. Some have kids, some don't have kids. We live in different places. So it's really meant to, one, help you use the word pillars earlier. I do too in my book. It's to help you find your core pillars, like the things that make you feel like you, that make you feel like your best self, that bring you joy, and then to create micro nods to those things every single morning. So for me, family is a really big one, and I live in Brooklyn, and I live with my family, but my parents live elsewhere, my siblings live elsewhere, you know, we're all spread out. So in an ideal world, I could connect with my mom every morning and have like a really long chat, but that's not possible because of life, 3 kids, work, all the things. So this is just an example from the book. Okay, so what's like a micro action I take in the morning to make sure that I'm filling up myself and hitting that core pillar? And for me, that's something like sending her literally a quick text while I'm walking my dog that's like a picture of the sunrise and a heart. She sends me pictures of her morning latte. She always tries to make a heart in it. So when she gets the heart just right, or even if it's oblong, there's no like, no need to say anything else. It's just a picture of the latte with the heart. And I'm like, oh, you know, so yeah. That's an example. Like, what are those little things you can do that are just so you and delight you? And then there could be bigger things. Like, a lot of people tell me they want to amp up their fitness regimen. So I have tips and tools in the book to, you know, help you wake up earlier, how to begin a fitness program. But a lot of the book actually starts the night before, because for me, having an awesome morning is actually really about having a smart, strategic, intentional evening. And that means making your room cold enough, making it dark, you know, don't doom scroll. This is something I struggle with every night, but like, put the phone away and start winding down early enough. I take a shower every night to metaphorically like wash off the day, but also to cool my core temperature. Everybody in my family knows I'm like fiercely protective of my sleep. I think it's my superpower, and that helps me wake up. I wake up really early. I wake up, well, I don't know if this is early to new parents, but 5:17 is my 7 is my lucky number. So I set my alarm for a number that makes me feel good. I'm kind of a weirdo, you guys, but this stuff works. I'm telling you, I have, I've told a lot of people about it, and it's really about starting small. This is not about like revamping your morning and like overhauling it. These are small tweaks. And this is about preparing the night before. Look out for your future self is my biggest piece of advice.
I love that so much. And I mean, and that's kind of like, Dom knows I'm like the late night cleaner that makes sure everything is like in its place, so that when I walk down in the morning, even though I know it's all going to be a mess again, because we got two littles, like at least it like, I go to bed like, oh, okay, it's set in place. The coffee's ready to go. Like, everything is in its place for the morning chaos that is our life right now. But I mean, and I love that it makes it so personal to you, you know? So you're bringing back into the person of like, what do you need? What is your number? What is your preference? What is your desire? And then how do you then create that? Which is so incredible, you know, to continue to remember. And it doesn't have to be these huge things, you know, just like those little.
As someone in the busy parent stage who is having my pillars smashed about every week, mm-hmm. something that I've noticed, you know, when my son Dante, he's our early riser, gets up at like 5 o'clock, and sometimes he won't go back down. He really loves to go sit outside and rock in one of our little swing chairs. And he and I just sit and rock and watch the sunrise. And I'm like, there we go. Little sun, little nature, little time with my little man. And it's like, yeah, my sleep might be wrecked for the day, but I get that moment with him, and it like sets me on a certain path.
Yeah. I mean, I love that, you know, you bring it back to the reality of what people can start doing. And there are these huge protein goals and there are these big workout goals, but it's like, again, looking at the overall picture of like starting small, adding aminos when you can, rather than always trying to get it into every single meal or messing up meals because you're trying to hit this certain thing. Yeah. I mean, I know there's so much more that we can go into, and you talk about so much on your Substack as well that people should go check out. That is Best Case Scenario, which is amazing. And then I've been really enjoying your episodes now on YouTube as well, that you have Lifting with Liz and bringing people on. I mean, you are a wealth of knowledge, having been in this space for so long. And I know that people can take away so many aspects just by understanding how you're doing it and the flow and the inspiration that you bring behind it all. So thank you so much for what you do.
Oh, that means a lot. Yes, I encourage anybody who wants to learn more about these topics and geek out with me to check out my Substack or come see Lifting with Liz. But honestly, you two are a delight to talk to, and I am so impressed by your glow and how enthusiastic and engaged you are. Like I said, I remember what it's like in those very early days. So props to you. Keep taking the tiny steps. You've got this.
We only heard one of our kids screaming for about 15 minutes in the background during this episode. So we made it through. But yeah, like Jen said, we'll have all the resources so people can find you linked up. If we're ever out in New York, we are going to reach out because yes. Cooking with
You're
Matt is
over
now
for dinner. You're coming
cooking
over.
Cooking with
for
Matt is now on my bucket list. So thank
lifting
you for that.
With Liz is on my bucket yeah. list. So
we'll cook. You guys lift. We'll have
You're
a jolly
invited.
Old time.
We're gonna have pasta and we're gonna lift weights together and talk about protein and some other things. It's gonna be awesome.
Yes, I love that.
Such an amazing interview with Liz. I know Jen has admired her from afar and all the work that she does, and hopefully that helps clear up some of the noise when it comes to protein intake and these essential amino acids and what should we be supplementing with. Please consider passing this episode along. If you know that there's anyone out there, anyone you know who might be interested in this topic, consider leaving a rating and review for us on your favorite podcasting platform, as that just helps us so much get this information out to so many more people. And of course, we'll see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.